Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, episode number 64, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. I am your host, Angelo, back this week, as always, with that other guy.
What up, what up?
Yes, his name is What Up, What Up.
Sex Panther is at your service.
Dude, honestly, What Up should be your Twitter name. Change it from asterisk to What Up, What Up.
I like that. I like that. I was actually gonna make it Fuck Republicans, but eh.
You know, we have a message on our group about that. Like, dude, when did it turn into NPR? I'm like, I know!
I haven't finished listening to the last episode, but I want to give a preemptive, like an early shout out here to Hakon for coming on with us last week. He was great, and the ladies love his accent, so he was a nice touch.
Okay. I haven't asked any ladies if they liked his accent. Oh, yeah, by the way, we have another guy here tonight.
I said he had a nice accent, so.
Yeah, we got another guy. It's Frank. What's up, Frank?
Not much. Glad to be back.
Always good to have you back, Frank. And you know what? It's weird. Like, I asked you a month ago to do this week, and it just so happens the new set mechanics come out.
I'm sure that wasn't planned at all.
Listen, I didn't know they were going to come out this week. It's messed up. Like, I didn't know there were spoilers until Sunday night. I'm like, huh, what?
Wait, they caught me off guard, too.
Spoilers?
Yeah, there's fucking spoilers this week.
What? How'd I fucking miss this?
I don't know, because you don't look at show notes that I send out a day early. This is Irma Grant, spoilers!
okay, yeah. Fucking show notes, goddamn.
Is that what that says?
Yeah, it's Irma Grant! Anyway, let's get started real fast at GP Phoenix, where they were slinging standard cards. Yay! Standard's not boring at all right now.
Oh, man. Hey. I'm playing some different stuff. There's some people out there playing some different stuff. But once again,
they need to win tournaments.
the boogeymen were back in the house in a big way. And yep. Hey, I mean, it's whatever. I have my opinions on the deck that won, which, I mean, we could go over. You want to hit this top eight, buddy?
That's what I was just about to do, but you wouldn't shut up.
I'll shut up.
Okay, quarterfinals broke down as such. Robert Burney versus Daniel Ward. Robert Burney wins at 2-0. Art versus William Levin. Levin wins 2-0. Nathan Holliday and Brandon. Nathan Holliday wins 2-0. Gary Wong versus Ifro. Gary Wong beats Ifro 2-1. Nathan Holliday beats Gary Wong 2-1. Robert Burney wins 2-0. Robert Burney wins the whole damn thing 2-1. I'm sorry. I am really tired, Ryan, so I did not feel like trying to sound those names out.
Yeah, no. Ifro, though, making it. He top 16 with this deck. GP Cincy, I believe. And now he's back in the top eight. This one, he was running the Black Red Devotion. Basically, I think he had Sire of Insanity in the last version. He doesn't have that in this. He's just red for the Rakdos return. That's it.
So three Rakdos mono return. Black with three Rakdos return.
Yeah, and the board.
They're not even main.
Pretty boring top eight, a bunch of mono blue, Jund monsters, and
Black control power.
We did have a band control. Pretty sweet, man. I don't know if this is Kiora's home, like, or not, but it's the best Kiora deck we've seen so far. It popped up a few weeks ago, and then it completely disappeared.
It's TV. Amazing how close this is to my deck that I built how long ago?
You were in Who Is Less? Is
that Three Sylvan Keratid. Remember when it first showed up, I was like, you need to add some Keratids to that deck. Hey, there they are.
There's a version of this too that runs Archangel of Thune main board and I think Prophet of Krufix, and it looks pretty That's fucking spicy. Nonsense. I don't know. I love Archangel of Thune, so it's pretty spicy. But band control, two Aetherling, the three Sylvan Caryatids, two Azorius Charms, a Celestial Flare, four Detention Sphere, three Dissolve, one Revoke Existence. You said a few weeks ago, Angelo, this card would start making main board, and you're right. This is the second deck at least. Or Sphinx's Revelation. Well, I mean, I always thought it would just, I know it's a sideboard card, but it is popping up main board.
There's just too many enchantments being played when you count gods and things, and just having the ability to remove them.
Tension Sphere.
Yeah. These spheres, gods.
your mono black.
Yeah, it's really good against mono black. I mean, yeah, yeah. That was going to see play. I knew that.
Yeah, the four Revelation, four Supreme Verdict, two Syncopate. I like that he cut down, by the way, to two Azorius Charms instead of four.
So do I.
I like two instead of four. Two Elspeths, four Jace, and two Kioras. His sideboard is interesting, man. Two Bow with Ilea. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many attacking creatures he plans on having at any given point. I suppose with Elspeth,
well,
but
I'm thinking for long control games, he's bringing this in, and he's doing that so he can put cards from his graveyard back to the bottom of his library. He's running this instead of the
Elixir.
The Elixir of Immortality, which is what I had. But I have no problem with this because it does do some extra things. Like, you know, oh, let me kill this flyer. Let me gain three life. That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I like that a lot. One Celestial Flare, another one there. One Faded Retribution, because we've said it in weeks past, it's really good against green red or Jund monsters. Three game save.
I watched some Faded Retribution do some work. What was that? Was that last week or was it this week? I don't remember. Continue on.
Yeah, three game save, one last breath, two negate, one more revoke existence, one scavenging ooze, and three voice of resurgence. I like that voice of resurgence tech in the board. I mean, I would still like to see some Archangel Athune in there. That I think is a much better creature to bring in for control, but voice is pretty sweet in that mirror match, or, you know, against blue white, or really ship, even mono black hates to see voice to resurgence. Any of the aggro decks as well, it's annoying. Yeah, nothing. I noticed the guy, so Robert Burney took it down with Black Devotion. He was running, he still opted to run four Night Vale Spectres main board instead of the Lifebane Zombie. I thought that was interesting. It kind of surprised me.
Well, with the appearance of the, a little bit less of the monsters recently in the, you know, in your top eights and top 16, and a little bit more of your control, that's probably the right call.
It has fallen off. Green Red has fallen off. I think the Lifebane Zombie kind of chased it out, and now Night Vale might be coming back. We'll have to see. I know other decks are still running the Lifebanes, it looks like. So
somebody to do it first before everyone else jumps ship. And yeah. Now that he has a first place finish, watch next week. Everyone will jump ship.
Yeah, he does have a Whip of Erebos main board. That's been kind of making a comeback. I think two Devour Flesh right now is one or two less than you want. I think that's a three or a four of in this deck. I'm kind of follow Owen Turtenwald's build a bit, and he's always advocated for Devour Flesh, and I kind of go, and we saw Yuya and Shuhei play four of them last week. I think that's a good call. But obviously two worked for Bernie this weekend. Yeah, I mean, and Farika's Cure seemed to make a comeback too. We're starting to see that back in the board. I think, Drowned in Sorrow kind of took that card slot, but I guess Farika's Cure is, I mean, it costs a mana less, so I don't know how huge that is, but I still like, Drowned in Sorrow there. But yeah, and a couple Jund Monsters lists. I don't know what you guys make of those.
They're Jund Monster lists. You know, I'm actually amazed at you. I'm going to give you all the credit in the world right now. I don't know how you can still talk about Mono Black Devotion with vigor.
I mean, I love Standard, man. It's my format, and that's of course one of my decks. But I like Jund Monsters sticking around and top baiting here. That kind of, like we just said, kind of fell off. I like Will Levin running one Chandra, three Domaries, one Vraska, and three Xenagos.
Yeah, actually four Xenagos if you want to count the one God of the Revels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like the Vraska. I like any deck that runs Vraska. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think that card is woefully underused.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the Sire of Insanity main board, and just the ability to play Dreadbore. Really, I think this deck, though, Jund Monsters is just really good in the green-red monsters matchup. And
Jesus Christ!
Not better against the field. I still think green-red monsters is, like, just better overall.
You go to the top 16 and there's nothing interesting.
Well, I disagree. There's a white-blue-red control, which I thought was... I actually was the other week thinking that'd be a pretty good meta call for this weekend because we've seen Esper and blue-white on the upswing.
It literally is blue white with the addition of
Counterflux
and Mizzium Mortars.
Both of which are sweet, man. Mizzium Mortars is really fucking good right now with you know, Blood Barons, Storm Breath Dragons, a number of things.
Yeah, you're missing the point that it's a deck that we've seen forever with the addition of two cards.
Yeah, I like, and you know what? I thought his sideboard was straight balls out, dude. Three Archangel Athune, two Blind Obedience, which is just fucking sick. I watched someone win this weekend off the back of two of those. Three Brimaz, two Celestial Flare, three Fiend Slayer Paladins, and two Storm Breath Dragons.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Fantastic.
I don't know, man. You don't like that sideboard? You can't appreciate that?
I can appreciate it, but I don't know. Like, it's blue-white. It's what I'm used to seeing for the most part. I mean, there's a couple changes in the sideboard. I don't know. I have a hard time getting excited about things.
I like it, but you're absolutely right. This top 16 overall was blasé. It's the same old, so we can move on. So, I don't know. I thought that was sweet, though. And mono blue is still wrecking house. They're still splashing white, but the mono blue devotion without white is posted better results in this event. And I don't know. I like, just the mono blue version, straight up mono blue. I don't think you need to splash white, but
little advantages. Top five cards. Do we want to do these? Storm Breath Dragon, Gainsay, duh, all this mono blue we're talking about, that makes sense. Rakdos Return, Bile Blight, Night Veil Spectre, in that order, there you go. God, we got like 2 more weeks and we're gonna have like different decks, it's gonna be fucking wonderful.
Well, we have different decks or just more?
I don't care, they'll change. Can I go with they'll change?
Yes.
Yes.
Alright.
Go with awesome. That. So, we had an SCG in Milwaukee.
We did have that, you know, at least there was Legacy. There was a little bit of controversy actually in the Legacy, which we'll get to when we get to it. And then there was Standard, but the Standard, let's start there because that's where we always start. And honestly, that's the format that most players do play. Yes, I just admitted that, Ryan. Go ahead.
you want to get this top eight?
If you want to, go break down the whole bracket.
So our one seed at the end of the Swiss was Bob Lischka facing 8 seed Jarrett Rocha. Then at 4 and 5, we have Eric Hawkins and Adrian Sullivan, who was very impressive this weekend on camera. At 2 and 7, we had Brad Thyssen versus Bradley Brown. And 3 and 6, Mason Lang versus our eventual winner, Kevin Wang. In our first matchup, Jarrett Rocha, as usual, the 8 always beats the 1. I don't know why it's like a fucking curse or something. 8 always beats 1 in these. Adrian Sullivan takes it down 2-0 in his match. Brad Thyssen 2-1 and Kevin Wang 2-1. In the semifinals, Adrian Sullivan takes down Rocha 2-1 and Wang beats Thyssen 2-1. Adrian Sullivan, Kevin Wang, pretty interesting finals, but Wang with mono black pulls it out and gets the win 2-0. It was pretty unfortunate. Game 2, Adrian mulled, I want to say 4 or 5, and he made a hell of a comeback and just couldn't get what he needed. So
yeah, you'll have that. Okay, my weeks are beginning to blend together, but I think I'm correct here.
Hey, by the way,
I say Adrian Sullivan versus Jarrett Rocha was like the greatest 90-minute control matchup I've seen in years. It was fun to watch.
Pretty sweet. By the way, Megan pointed out that I said Wang pulled it out.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I chose to ignore it.
thank you, Megan, for pointing that out to me. Adrian Sullivan's a beast, man, at the blue-white. I love his build. Do you want to go over it?
Yeah, I was just about to. We have an Aetherling. That's the only creature you need. We have 1 Elspeth Sun's Champion. We have 4 Jace Architect of Thought. We have an Azorius Key Rune. That's pretty key in this.
Dude, did that not do work? He was on hammer quite a bit this weekend, and that card, it was good for, about 10 damage in one game.
Yeah, most of his wins came through Azorius Key Rune / Mutavault.
Yep.
It was kind of sick.
Got finals off the back of, I believe it was a couple Mutavolts, right? And an Azorius Key Rune.
Yeah, I don't know. It was 90 minutes of watching Magic. Elixir of Immortality versus and 4 Detention Sphere, 2 Azorius Charm, a Celestial Flare, a Cyclonic Rift, a Disperse, 3 Dissolve. An Essence Scatter, 1 Faded Retribution. Yes, this is where I saw it do work.
Yep.
Cause Adrian's sitting there and like the dude actually has an Aetherling and an Elspeth out, and Last Breath, and Adrian still won. Four Sphinx's Revelation, a Syncopate, two Divination, four Supreme Verdict, Sideboard, Ratchet Bomb, Keening Apparition, I like, Blind Obedience, one Debtor's Pulpit, Domestication, Celestial Fire, three Gainsay, two Last Breath, a Negate, a Render Silent, a Jace Memory Adept, and a Glare of Heresy. The spells in this deck looks like a Legacy deck.
I fucking love it, dude. First of all, Render Silent was fucking awesome for him. One of that he got to cast, I saw at least three times, and shutting him off for the rest of the turn, the little silence attached to that.
Yeah.
It's huge. Essence Scatter caught a lot of people off guard. I like it as one. I think it's really fucking good right now. It's a creature-based format for the most part. Sure, it could be bad.
Except when it's not.
Except when it's not, and you know what? If it's bad, it's bad, but right now, I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's really fucking good. Disperse and Detention Sphere. Man, that's a cool trick. He pulled that off. You know, you cast Detention Sphere, and then with it on the stack, you throw the Disperse out, return the Detention Sphere to your hand, and you permanently exile their dude or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. I used to do that with Path to Exile and Tidehollow Skull. There's a lot more upside there.
I mean, and then, you know, it's bounce spell. I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world when a monstrous Galukranos is attacking you or whatever. It's not the worst thing to have to do, but I like this. And Debtor's Pulpit, fucking great.
Yeah, Debtor's Pulpit actually won him quite a few games. Just the ability to just shut something off every turn.
Aetherling, Stormbreath Dragon, Blood Baron, everything that the white deck, that the blue-white control deck splashes black for the most part, outside of Thoughtseize, everything you're splashing black for and S for control is for shit that Debtor's Pulpit deals with on its own.
Yeah.
I know it's the black mana enchantment, but it deals with everything you're splashing black for. Do you really need to splash the black? I don't know. This kind of innovative.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, before anyone goes crazy and goes, that Debtor's Pulpit's white, it can hit Blood Baron. Yes, it can, because it enchants the land, and the land is the thing doing it. Just want to point that out.
Same with Stormbreath Dragon. I mean, yeah, that card easily, hands down, prevented a ton of damage for him and won him games outright. The Domestication was pretty sick. That deals with a lot of shit that Blue-White has problems with. Adrian Sullivan's I think he's a master of Blue-White control. I mean, he plays it very well, and he was great to watch.
Yep. Now, moving on to the deck that everyone wants to hear me talk about, Mono Green Aggro.
Yeah, and if it wasn't, to be fair, he faced off against our winner, Kevin Wang, in the quarterfinals, and he mulled to four, I want to say game three. And if it weren't for that mull, he had him, man. And he made a hell of a game. He made a heck of a game out of it, so.
Yeah, four Brush Strider. Yeah, that's the 3-1 Vigilance.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's a good limited card. Who knew it's see playing constructed? Four Burning Tree Emissary, four Elvish Mystic, four Experiment One, four Colonian Tusker, four Reverent Hunter, two Scavenging Ooze, three Slaughterhorn. Yes, Slaughterhorn, that's the Blood Rush, give +3/+2 into under turn. Okay. Four Boon Satyrs, a Nylea, four Mutavault 19 Forest, two Mending Touch, one Ranger's Guile. He doesn't need spells, he only has three of them in there. Sideboard is three Dryad Militants, four Miscutter Hydra, four Nylea's Disciple, a Scavenging Ooze, two more Mending Touch, and a Bramble Crush. That deck is sweet, just because I like stupid things that just turn sideways.
Yeah, this deck was fun to watch. I mean, I do think the spell package could use some work. I know it definitely, there were some things that could have, you know, saved him against Mono Black, but I had a good time watching this deck on coverage, and it drew a huge crowd every time it was on.
It's because it's different and like no one's seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun, and like I said, if it weren't for his matchup in the quarterfinals against Mono Black, and the fact that even a bad matchup, I think, for this deck, the fact that it took a mold of four to beat him, and it was a very close game, I don't know, I think this deck's the real deal, as far as creatures go. I mean, it's not expensive, outside of the Mutavaults, and really that's it.
Yeah, Frank.
Yes.
Do you have this page pulled up, sir?
Yeah, I do. I got back, I'm sorry, I had a phone call in the interim.
I understand. Do you want to go over this Niagara list? Because this is a little different.
Here, let me pull that one up. I didn't have that one. I'm sorry. The Niagara?
Yes. Eighth place. Okay. Brad Brown.
Brad Brown. Okay. Going down, it looks like it's two Banisher Priests, four Experiment Ones, four Fleece Mane Lions, two of the Gorklan Rampagers, three Soldiers of the Pantheon, four Voice of Resurgence, a singular Archetype of Courage, four Boonsaders, two Ajani's, a whole mess of various lands, which I don't want to go into right now.
Yeah, there's some Mutavaults in there. You figure out.
Mutavaults, some tap lands, some scry lands.
And the Mutavaults is ballsy for a three-color deck. I think it's ballsy.
Yeah.
Very much so, yeah. four Advent of the Worm, three Boros Charms, four Selesnya Charms, and going to his board, he has a Banisher Priest, an Imposing Sovereign, two Spirits of the Labyrinth, a Druid's Deliverance, two Last Breaths, and two of each of Unravel the Aether, Glare of Heresy, and Mizium Mortars.
Another very inexpensive deck that you can have some fun with.
Exactly.
Yeah, outside of Voice of Resurgence, the Mutavaults, and some of these Shocklands, I mean, again, his quarterfinal matchup was pretty bad.
Well, I mean, you'll have that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, going down the top eight real fast, we have Mono Black, Blue White Control, Mono Blue, Esper Control, Red White Burn, which we've gone over repeatedly in recent weeks, Mono Green Aggro, Jund Monsters, and Naya Aggro, which is the one Frank just went over. Congratulations to Mr. Huang.
Yeah, for sure. We do have a Green Black Dredge deck in 12th place.
Yay, one of them did good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deck we mentioned last week. I think there's still
there are a couple cards off.
But I want to say, in respect to you, Angelo, Night Howler is a must of a four of.
No shit, Sherlock.
I saw that do some ridiculous work in coverage. If you go back round two or three, I think, oh, my God. It was just ridiculous. They had like 15-15 Deathrite Shamans. It was pretty fucking crazy. And the bestow cost of four, I don't think I paid enough attention to. That's a very...
Very cheap.
Very cheap for that the effect in that deck.
You know what's funny? I can't believe you didn't see this, you know, 2 weeks ago when we had this argument and I told you you was nuts. Because it's just so cheap, and, like, I've seen Jared do 20 damage on his own with one of those attached to him.
Oh, yeah.
<It's> like, holy hell. I win. Yay.
And then there's a couple of Naya Hexproof decks at 13th and 14th. That deck is still hanging around. Green-White Aggro made a comeback, 10th place.
Get on that deck right now. I'm just going to let you know that.
On the green-white aggro.
Oh, that deck's going to be good soon.
is there a spoiler I should know?
It'll all make sense a little later, Ryan.
Okay.
Frank, I'm going to need your help on this one, buddy.
Okay.
Because we're going to do Legacy, and Ryan is literally just going to conk out on me.
Okay.
I'm going to go, actually, I'm out of vodka, and it's my apple juice, so I got to go fill up.
Yeah. This is how much he cares about it. Steve Wise versus Caleb Calhoun. Steve Wise wins 2-1. Stacy Winchell versus Wayne Tam. Tam wins 2-1. Alex Javed versus Lawrence Grishold. Javed wins 2-0. Kevin Roth versus Eric Real. Real wins 2-1. Real over Javed 2-1. Tam over Wise 2-1. And Eric Real wins the whole damn thing. Now let's get into what they're playing.
Exactly.
I do love
it. Hey, to be fair, I loved Eric Real's deck, man.
Okay, good. We have four color Delver was what actually won. Which, this deck was actually kind of nuts.
No, it's called Spy Kids.
Okay, they're calling it Four Color Delver, though. And well, that's what I was calling it when I was watching.
They suck, but Eric Grill was calling it out. It's Spy Kids.
Okay, it's Spy Kids.
Okay.
All right, either way, it's four Deathrite Shaman, four Delver, four Young Pyromancer. Those last two I just said, those are important. He is an Edric Spymaster of Trest.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's just draw cards and make more Pyromancer tokens. We have four Brainstorm, 4 days, Fire and Ice. I love that card.
I miss that card.
So do I. I mean, this is what split cards should be. Just you know, tap this, draw a card, or I'm going to just burn you. Yeah. Four Force of Will, four Lightning Bolt, four Stifle. I want to see Stifle reprinted for Modern. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy, but they're probably going to say they have, was it Thoughtbind? Or the split second one. I forget what the name of it is. I think it's Thoughtbind. Whatever it is, they're going to say they have that one, so we don't need it.
Damn it, it's Trickbind.
Trickbind, that's what it was.
But no, I mean, having that for one just to be able to shut down somebody's fetch lands is just wonderful.
Exactly.
Four Gataxian Probe and four Ponder. So you see the Delver, you see the Pyromancer. With this deck, you can have an absurd amount of 1/1 red elemental tokens.
Exactly.
And, you know, Edric just drops cards. Deathrite deals little bits of damage and accelerates. And Delver, oh yeah, he's a 3/2 flyer in this deck 90% of the time.
Yeah, pretty simple and straightforward. It's actually, I didn't get the chance to see this in play, so I had to, you know, go through some of the archives to watch it, but it just, you know, like a punch in the face.
I saw one game where I swear to God he had like 9 Pyromancer tokens on the board, or elemental creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what, huh? And I'm sitting there, and like in my head, I'm like, they're 2/2s. This game's over. And they're like, so he can deal 13 damage this turn. I'm like, how? What? Because I don't use this card very often, and I haven't seen it used as much as it, you know, as I thought it was going to be used in Legacy when it first was revealed. But
right.
This dude found a spot for it. He does have, you know, in his lane back.
Go ahead and attack with Emrakul. I'll sack 6 tokens.
Yeah, just sack 6 tokens. Exactly.
I think that happened, actually.
That wouldn't shock me. He does have the mandatory 4 wasteland. Everything else just creates mana. Sideboard, he has an Ancient Grudge, a Misdirection, a Mizium Skin. Mizium Skin, what the hell? I guess when you don't want something to die. Okay. 2 Pyroblast, 2 Submerge, 2 Surgical Extraction, 4 Cabal Therapy. That's a backup plan. 1 Life from the Loam, and 1 Marsh Casualties.
I wish they would reprint cards like Pyroblast, man.
The old days of Magic.
Yeah.
Dude, I look at these cards with so much jealousy, dude. Fucking Pyroblast. Like, these are just like, I don't know. What is wrong with half these in Standard? I don't get it.
There's just too much crap in Standard that they just don't want to see anymore, man. I mean, like, they say that Mana Leak.
Much.
Yes, they hate spells this much. Mana Leak is too good.
No, it's not. Mana Leak.
Well, that was the reasoning for banning it.
Draw Mana Leak late game.
They will never reprint Stone Rain because it's too good, yet it never really saw play. Towards the end. I mean, it did early on. It saw a lot of play early on. Who's kidding who? But, you know, it's just how they feel about it. They don't like spells. We have 2 Sneaking Shows in 2nd and 3rd. We have Bug Control in 4th. Bug Delver in 5th. We have Ad Nauseam Tendrils in 6th. We have Bug Delver in 7th. We have Manaless Dredge in 8th, which normally I would take the time to go over, but I see Dead Guy Ale in 9th place.
Oh, well, and check out our 10th place finish.
Oh, yeah. I've only gotten to 9th place. Frank, you want to go over Dead Guy?
Dead Guy O?
Yes.
Sure. Okay, for creatures, it's 4 Tide Hollow Sculler, 4 Dark Confidence, 4 Deathrite Shamans, a 1 Gatekeeper of Malakir.
That's
a very nice card. 3 Stoneforge, they have 3 Liliana of the Veils. Again, a bunch of land. For spells, there's a Batter Skull, a Sensei's Divining Top, 2 Oblivion Rings, 4 Swords of Plowshares, a copy of Jete, 3 Hymn to Turoks, 2 Lingering Souls, a Vindicate, and 4 Thoughtseize.
I'm always happy to see Hymn to Turoks.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. That's the card I want to see come back.
That is entirely too powerful for Marvel.
I know.
It's only sorcery speed, though. And, I mean, it was from Fallen Empires. How good could it be?
Exactly.
You ain't even got to give me the wolf art. You can give me one of the bat arts. I don't care.
Well, you have to play at least one of each.
Yeah. Man, did that make pack opening, though. Shitty back then.
Well, I like the sideboard a lot here.
Oh, yeah, his sideboard. He has combos in it.
Yeah. I noticed the Helm of Obedience and 2 Rest in Peace. It's a good combo.
Yeah, he has a Pithing Needle, a Sword of Fire and Ice, a Canonist to slow down them Stormers. Rest in Peace, 2 of them, a Spirit of the Labyrinth, 2 Enlightened Tutored, and Extirpate. Just Extirpate. 2 Surgical Extraction and a Zealous Persecution. Why not just a 3rd Surgical Extraction? I guess the split second is,
It's relevant.
It's relevant, yeah. So this is your black-white, I'm not running Delver, but I'm gonna search crap out deck. Zealous Persecution is insane. and it is a funny way to kill that blue thing that nothing touches.
I like Oblivion Ring too, the two Oblivion Ring, like, okay, show and tell.
That's actually kind of awkward, like a three mana spell in this format is just unreal.
They go show and tell Emrakul and you go Oblivion Ring.
Oh, no, I'm not arguing that, but it's kind of weird. Since it's Divining Top, I'm about tired of seeing. Because it just makes games go so long.
I've never liked that card for that reason.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, the power of the card is undeniable. But, God damn, does it make games go forever. Like, you know, when you play against it in EDH, it's like, there's four guys at the table. One person tops. The other three take their whole turn while he's topping. And then by the time you get back to him, it's good to go. But outside of that format, holy hell.
Well, back when Extended was a format, I had a table judge a match. And both players were playing control with the Divining Tops, and I really just wanted to give Game Loss to get the show moving.
Slow play. What?
Exactly.
You should have done it, Frank. You should have done it.
Yeah. So we have, as Ryan wanted to say, we have Sam Black in 10th with Elves. Sam Black is the one who had the little controversy this weekend. People said he cheated. And I, you know, as always, I come down on the side of, holy fuck, it's Elves. There's so many triggers, it's easy to miss one.
No, you know what they're saying he cheated over was, okay.
I know what they said he's cheating over. It was Blight Visionary, and he said, is this sick? And the other guy said, no. And he went, okay, it's not sick. So, and then he attacked with it. And I'm like, oh, he cheated. Oh my God. Dude. The turns with
played that card 20 minutes prior.
Exactly.
With it. His turn was literally, it was like 20 minutes. He got down to three cards in his deck and he was going to deck himself because he had, Nettle Sentinels and some other shit. And every time he played a creature, he was drawing three cards.
Yeah.
And, it was just insane. The guy was able to get rid of a couple Green Sun Zenith and Sam was down to two and he was just, Green Sunning for like zero. He really needed the other Zenith, but it had been taken out and he got down to three cards in his deck or whatever. And he was like, all right, I got to play Craterhoof, plays Craterhoof, decks himself, has to attack, asked his opponent if the Visionary was summoning Sig, and his opponent said no, and he attacked with it. And honestly, I don't know if Sam knew if it was or wasn't. I mean, he played it. It was the first card played, I believe, that turn, and it had been like 20 minutes. And there was literally, there was a pile, like, not even joking, like a pile of cards, like, on top of the Visionary and laid out. Like, he pulled it from out from under a bunch of shit and was like, oh, like, I don't know, did I play that? Like, is this summoning sick?
Well, the thing with this deck, and, like, I've played it myself, and I've played against it, and the one thing is, like you said, the turn was, like, 20 minutes. But in between that 20 minutes, there was probably 100 triggers that went off that he was keeping track of. Yeah. Or more, when you consider the untapping of Nettle Sentinels and everything else. And it's real easy after playing a turn for 20 minutes and playing, you know, I don't know, 40 cards from your deck. Was this last turn or this turn that I played this? I mean, that's easy to forget. Guys, look at Sam Black's record. He's not a open cheater. Calm down. That about cover that?
Covers it perfectly. I mean, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, outside of, you know, creating separate piles for, you know, creatures you played, which in itself presents other problems. Yeah, I mean, there really wasn't, I didn't see cheating. I saw confusion. And guess what? It's a complicated game. It happens.
To be fair to Sam, I've never heard anything like we hear shit stories about a lot of these guys and never about Sam Black. He's got a stand up reputation. And this isn't a deck he's known for playing in Legacy.
And he ran it really well for somebody who doesn't play it all the time.
Yeah, that's a testament to how good he is as a player, but this isn't his deck, and so I kinda give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, if it were like, you know, something he's known for playing, or, you know, has a reputation with, I'd be more inclined to think maybe this was, could have been shady, but I don't think so, man. Come on, it's Sam Black, dude. He doesn't need to cheat. Like,
yeah. In 15th place, and like, it's just Tendrils, it's TES, but I'm sitting here looking at the sideboard of this deck. He's running a Diminishing Returns. I haven't seen that card in years.
What's diminishing returns?
Each player shuffles
exactly
and graveyard into their library.
Wait, say that
again? You shuffle all of your cards from your hand and your graveyard into your library. You restart your deck. Then you take the top 10 cards and you put those, you remove them from the game. And then you can draw, both players can draw up to 7 cards. So it's like, put everything together, mill 10, draw, start a new game, basically, as long as life totals haven't changed at this point.
It's Time Twister.
Yeah, pretty much. And it cost 4, and it was from Alliances?
Alliances, yes.
I mean, it just, I was just looking through the list, and I'm going, why the hell would he have diminishing returns in this deck? Alliance. But it kind of makes sense in an ad nauseum deck.
I definitely see that. I mean, it does, you know, it restarts. You know, you don't have enough storm count, you diminishing returns, and just start all over again.
Yeah, that is really cool. Good call by that guy. That of the tropical island in the sideboard, just to fill it out. You don't have to do that anymore, correct?
Yeah. The sideboard has to be 15 when you start. It can be 14 in game 2 and 3, but it has to be 15 when you start.
All right, well, okay, so he does have to do it.
Yes.
So, yeah, but congratulations to Eric Rill and his new take on Delver without Delver. That's cool. But, guys, it's that time of year again. Well, time of month. I don't know. It seems like we just...
Whoa, time of month.
Yes, time of month. Which is, don't mess with me, or I'm going to get mad and bleed all over you, fucker. But it's spoiler season again.
Yes, it is.
I swear we just did this.
Yeah, yes, indeedy.
Okay, so first spoiler thing of the section, you know, we have this whole, everyone pick a card or two, and we'll go over it. I'm starting this with Godsend.
Remember, that's a good pick.
Remember I said the green-white deck, Ryan? It's for 1 colorless and 2 white. Equip creature gets +3/+3 legendary artifact equipment.
This is Elspeth's sword.
Yes.
Flavor plus.
Yes. Whenever equipped creature blocks or becomes blocked by one or more creatures, you may exile one of those creatures. Correct me if I'm wrong, Frank. That is when blockers are declared before damage, correct?
Correct.
All right. That makes this card so good. Opponents can't cast cards with the same name as the cards exiled with Godsend. Equip cost of 3. Am I nuts for thinking this card is insane?
It's pretty good. I do like it a lot.
I think it's on the power level of the swords. It's no Jitte or Batterskull. Don't get me wrong there. But short of the mana cost, because you have to have a colored mana, I think power level-wise, it's just as good as any of the real swords.
I agree. I mean,
see it in standard, but Stoneforge, yeah. I don't know. I just think in an aggro deck, this is 6 mana over 2 turns. I don't know. That you're asking a lot there.
I'm thinking putting that on a Voice of Resurgence just says fuck you to whoever you're playing. Because you know you're getting 2 equips on that Voice of Resurgence.
Yeah. To me, I guess it's just how you look at it, what lenses you look through. I see it more of as for a control deck, because I'm going to get rid of cards I don't want to see. So I'm going to put this on, you know, an Elspeth token, attack with it, and get rid of your creatures so I don't have to worry about them, ever.
Right? No, I see that, too. I don't know. Like, I was thinking of putting this on 1/1s and 2/2s.
Yes.
Very early on, just, you know, it can be either hyper aggro or control. I don't think it has a home, really, in the mid-range, because you're going to want to play the bigger spells that are stronger and, you know, that do enough on their own. But, you know, in a deck full of 2/2s and 1/1s, hell, this thing's nuts. Like, oh, now I have a 4/4 on turn 4 that you have to block with 2 creatures, and I'm going to kill one of them. I'm putting you on a clock that quickly. You know, if it's a 2/2, it's like you have 4 turns. And if you decide to block it with a Pelucranus, guess what? I'm exiling that immediately, and then I'm getting rid of the rest of them. Seems awesome to me.
Only just trample.
Pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah. Frank, do you want to go over one of these cards?
Yeah, there's one card here that sticks in my mind because I was waiting to see what it was, and I am not disappointed by it.
I think I know what it is.
Would you say it's, I can't pronounce it, was it Keranos?
Keranos, God of the Storms?
God of the Storms, yep. I'll be honest, when we were discussing at the local game shop about the red-blue god, I was hoping he'd be the god of insanity, because I think that'd be kind of cool, but an insane god is just as well for me. This is just a ridiculous card. I'm loving this.
I mean, it's draw cards and then burn them.
Yes. I mean, it's indestructible like all the other gods. It becomes a creature when your devotion is 7, like the multicolor guards. And whenever you draw a card on your turn, the first one you draw, you show it, you reveal it. If it's a land, you put it in your hand. If it's a land, you draw another card. Pardon me. And if it's a non-land card, you lightning bolt something.
Creature war player. Yeah, it's creature war.
That's pretty sick. I mean, it costs 5. It's kind of up there, but that's kind of worth it.
I think it's pretty aggressive of a cost, to be real honest.
Oh, I agree. Yes. I mean,
that's a pretty good 5. I mean, especially if you're running like a counter burn deck where, you know, you've been just, you know, throwing 1 casting cost and 2 casting cost stuff at their face and then holding back just a little bit of mana to, you know, begin to counter some stuff. Putting this down on turn 5 and then, you know, sitting back on your counters seems like a plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect red blue.
Yeah, there was a Planeswalker that came out not too long ago that this should have been his abilities, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Is this making up for Ral'Zaric?
I think so.
I think so.
Because that would have been like the perfect text lines for Ral'Zaric, honest to God.
Yeah.
And then give him a decent ultimate, and, you know, there you go. Ryan, pick a card.
I'm a big fan of this enchantment, Dictate of Kruphix.
Ah, I thought you were going to say the Twin Gods, but okay.
Yeah. Colorless and 2 blue. It's an enchantment. Flash. At the beginning of each player's draw step, that player draws an additional card. I know you're giving cards to your opponent, so I don't know, you know, that's kind of bad, but...
That's dangerous.
I think in a control deck where your spells are ultimately more powerful. Who knows? You know what? Actually, I'm going to take that back because I didn't read that close enough. That is kind of bad.
Well, can I say something before you go on? Like, the one thing I like about this, unlike the other cards that say draw card, you actually get the benefit from this one first if you play it right. It's not like, I'm going to play this thing that makes us both draw cards. Please draw a card before me. You're going to get the card first by casting and then your opponent's turn.
Yeah, it is clearly better because of the flash.
Yeah, and I actually like that, and I think that's actually, to me, what makes this card a pretty darn good card.
I think this, looking at this, going off of you, the god theme you just said, Kuranos, if this is what Iroas is going to be...
That's Iroas.
That's it.
So, 2 colorless, a red and a white. So this is the Boros god, I guess. Indestructible 7/4. As long as your devotion to red and white less than 7, it isn't a creature. Creatures you control can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to attacking creatures you control. So not only is it hard as shit to block your creatures, but you're not going to kill them either. They're not going to kill them when they're blocked either.
I do want to point out for the mono black players out there, Lash of the Whip will kill this card.
Yeah, the -4. Mm-hmm. So will Guild. But yeah, I mean, this is the top end of maybe a Naya Blitz or, you know, a real aggressive Boros strategy. I think those decks are going to want this card. I think maybe Naya Blitz can make a comeback, you know, Burning Tree Emissary, that sort of thing. And this at the top end, make all those little dudes by the time, you know, they're playing creatures that can block yours. This guy comes down and just nothing gets blocked and you're just pegging him with all your 2/2s and whatnot.
Yeah.
I like his cost. I mean, I think he's more aggressively cost than the other one.
Yeah.
Because, with Boros Reckoner in the format, you can get this guy probably turned onto a creature as soon as you cast him.
Yeah.
You still gotta get 7 for your devotion.
Need to turn this guy on.
Reckoner only counts as 3.
Right, but you have the 1/1 in turn 1, you have a double casting cost in turn 2, the Reckoner and him. That's 7.
I bet when you play this on turn 4, you're going to get through as much damage, if not more, than you did on average with Hellrider at the 4-drop slot in the Aggro Boros and Mono Red list.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the 4-drop slot, this is a lot of damage on turn 4.
Oh, yeah.
Curved out, you know, maybe a couple 2/1s or 2, you know, on turn 2. You know, you got 3 dudes down turn 2, another guy turn 3 with your Reckoner or whatnot. You drop this on turn 4, and they're not blocking you anything. So... Yep.
So, me being the limited player, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pull out, my Sigiled Starfish.
Oh, it's a starfish. Is this the first starfish in MTG history?
No, there were some in Alliances.
Yeah, 1 in a blue, 03. I'm liking it already. Tap it, scry 1. Okay, it's a blocker I can scry every turn with. I'm down.
Pretty sweet, man.
I don't know. Like, to me, I mean, again, limited player at heart, I look at this thing and go, perfect 2-drop in a blue deck.
Yeah, I like it.
Frank, yes. You want to go over one?
Sure. There's another card I liked, and I liked it because of the art, but the effect's pretty cool, too. Extinguish All Hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very good flavor card. It's 4 colors and 2 black. It's destroy all non-enchantment creatures. And like I said, I like the art because it shows 3 of the gods just standing there contemplating your death.
Yes.
Because, all the gods that touch black, except Athreos isn't on there, actually. So it's Krufix, Erebos, and...
Probably one we haven't seen yet.
No, the blue-black one. God damn it, what's his name?
Oh, that one, yeah.
Fennec. Erebos, and Farika.
Yeah, that's it.
It's in the flavor text.
I don't think Esper needed another sweeper, nor do I think Mono Black needs a top end sweeper.
I like having this because at least there is a board sweeper in Limited now. There really wasn't one for this format, and they usually need one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan, you got another one, bro?
Well, fucking Squelching Leeches looks pretty damn funny. I don't know, man. Dacra Mystic seems kind of cool. It's another blue card. It's a 1/1 for a blue, island, and you tap it. Each player reveals the top card of his or her library. You may put the revealed cards into their owner's graveyards. If you don't, each player draws a card.
That seems pretty good, actually. Like, you know, okay, is my card better than yours? Yes, we'll keep them. My card better than yours? No, let them go away. I will point out, we'll just finish up these spoilers right now, but I will point out that there is another Dictate on here, which is of the Twin Gods, and that's red, so I think that's the cycle, and they're all flash. And this is basically a, Furnace of Wrath. I knew it was Wrath. I couldn't think of the, I wanted to say Winds of Wrath, and I'm like, I know that's not the card. But yeah, it's basically Furnace of Wrath for 1 more mana, but it has flash. And it seems, you know, and even Dictate of Krufix was 1 more mana than Howling Mine, but it has flash. And I think that's fair.
Yep. If I remember correctly, it's been a while. I think also Furnace was 3 red, not 2. So that's even better in that way.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, it was red. Like, you needed stuff. Red 1?
I think so.
Yeah, I used to play it in that crazy stuffy doll deck I used to run. It was so fun beating people with Scred on turn 5. Scred for 20? Okay, gotta go. So, as always, we'll go over more of these spoilers as, you know, time resumes. And eventually, me and Ryan will put our foots in our mouths. We're so good at that.
I like the Satyr Hoplite already too for the heroic decks.
Oh yeah, one red. Yeah, that's what red white needed. Another card to fight over.
That gets a 1/1 counter on it whenever you fucking target it. God damn.
Yeah, like the other two in white wasn't enough. Now I'll give it a 1-drop in red.
The ordeals just get better and better with every set in this block. The ordeals just get better. For these heroic decks.
So strangely, I asked Frank a month ago to come on here, and as I said earlier, the mechanics popped up.
Yep.
This was actually not planned, even though he usually does come on to do a mechanics thing with us. But hey, he's here. So, Frank, this is your floor, bro.
Well, it looks like there's only one new mechanic. There's a bunch of, everything's returning from the block, but only one new mechanic called Constellation.
Wait, Strive isn't new?
Strive. I didn't see that there. Yeah, Strive. I apologize. You have 2 new mechanics then. Wow, jeez. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was Kicker. Well, whatever.
Might as well be.
Exactly.
Never mind.
Exactly. Anyways, so Constellation basically is tacked on enchantment creatures, and it says that whenever this card or another enchantment enters the battlefield, you get some effect. There's one, I believe, that was in the spoilers, something about it was the Blossom one. It's like a Wall of Blossoms for 4 mana, and when it comes to play or another enchantment, you draw a card.
Yes.
Let me see if I can find the name of it, because I want to be complete with this one. It is Eidolon of Blossoms.
Yes.
And it's a 2/2 for 4, and it draws you cards. There's others there. There's one, I think it says, when something comes to play, you know, your creature can't be blocked. So there are going to be small effects like that. Attached to enchantments whenever one comes into play. The other one, Strive, the other new one that I totally missed, it basically is a derivative of Kicker. Basically, you cast a spell and you get an effect, and Strive says you can pay so much more to target something else beyond the first. So I guess it's like a combination between the Fireball clause in there and Kicker. For like Johnny's Presence here, it costs 1 white. Strive costs 2 and a white, and it says any number of target creatures get +1/+1 and gain indestructible for the end of the turn. So if you want to target 2 things, it costs you 4. If you want to target 3 things, it costs you 7.
Holy hell, that's expensive.
Yeah. But it's scalable. I mean, it's there for heroic deck. So, I mean, I can see them being used very well in limited. I'm not sure how they transfer to, constructed very well.
That's a common one too. So
yeah.
I'm sure it's cheaper at the rare.
Exactly. And the other mechanics, they're just the normal stuff. There's enchantment creatures in this set too. There's creatures with bestow. We pretty much talked about that so much. The normal things. Heroics back, and Scry's back.
Monstrosity's
back.
And that left for a while.
Yeah. But I don't think it really left, it just kind of stood in the corner for a bit, but yeah, it's back.
The last set, I don't believe so.
Wasn't the dragon?
It's the dragon? I don't know. Either way, you're talking about a rare card, so.
Exactly. And the gods are back, we were just talking about them, but yeah, it's really weird that this set didn't deviate from the other two sets. Usually the third one, they kind of try to throw you a curveball. This time they didn't.
You know what? I wish we had this podcast when Time Spiral came out so I could sit here for half an hour and just let you talk.
I would hate that. Oh, my God.
Looks like they're going, they're really pushing an enchantment theme and heroic. It seems like they're trying to push a heroic deck for standard by giving us another one drop and things like the new Charioteers. I don't know. I think they're pushing that kind of thing for standard and that's what they want to see. I think, Polis Crusher is a card, to have on hand in the next set of for you green red players.
Just I still like my Keening Apparitions.
Yeah. Just the protection from enchantments thing, I think, being relevant. It looks like, I mean, from what it seems, that's at least two of the things I'm picking up on that they're really pushing for standard. So maybe it'll happen with that. It hasn't happened yet. I think they were hoping that since Theros that there would be some sort of like enchantment based deck, and I don't know, maybe we'll get there.
So moving on, dual deck Speed and Cunning coming out in October on Magic Online and September 5th in real life. That's all I got.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Nothing, man. They're just like, hey, we got this thing coming out. Do you care about it? No. Oh, well, we're still going to tell you about it. Ha ha. And then they laugh at you because they're ignorant. Boo. So June has a new FNM card. It's Dissolve or Dissipate or something at the Art School. Yeah. I only saw it on Twitter. I can't find the link. Sorry, guys. Frank, part of the reason I asked you on, actually the main reason I asked you on is I want, cause I've given my perspective on what you should be doing when you show up for a GP. And as you know, I'm heading to Philly and Ryan's not,
right.
But a bunch of, the listeners are going to be in Philly this week and just, from a justice perspective.
By the way, I wish I could be there, man. I can't wait to hear all about it for sure.
From a judge's perspective, what should a player be ready for when he shows up? What should he bring with him? Those type of things.
Okay, no problem. He should be ready for Mass Chaos in a controlled train wreck. The best run Magic events still are kind of very chaotic. So you definitely want to make sure you have your wits with you at all times.
Way to scare everybody off right off the bat.
Well, sorry. I mean, I'm not going to pull punches here. That's what it is. I mean, you're going to walk into a room with more than likely 1,500 other people, and if this is your first Grand Prix, it's going to be extremely intimidating. But don't be too intimidated. I mean, it's just Magic. You're going to be sitting at the table like you do everywhere else. For what you should bring as a player, I try to tell the players not to bring too much extra stuff. I do know that in Grand Prix, usually tens of thousands of dollars of cards get, quote, lost, end quote.
How can you lose something like that?
Oh, because someone picks them up and puts them somewhere else because they're trying to help them out or something. I don't know. No. But, yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be. It used to be a real bad problem, but just keep your eyes on your stuff. Always keep your, if it's in your bag, keep your arm through the loop in the bag.
Keep a lock on your backpack.
That doesn't matter. You can cut a backpack, homie. Well, if they take your bag.
You're going to notice them cutting it while you're wearing it. You're not in Colombia with professional pickpockets and shit.
Right.
Okay.
Slicing open your bag while you're wearing it and stuff on the bus.
Okay, I thought you meant like, you know, they'll just pick your bag up if you leave it on your chair.
And oh, there's don't nothing
you can do at that point.
Right, yeah, just...
my bag between my feet.
Yeah, I try that too, and I actually put my foot through the armhole as well too, just to make sure that if something gets tugged on it, I'm gonna know about it.
Yeah, I put my leg through the loop. Like, there ain't no question about it. So if you grab it, I know.
That's a testament. That's just some badass shit too. Like, I'm the same way. Like, it's almost like I'm like, I dare you. I dare someone to pull on this bag. My foot is through it. I'm gonna stand up and beat your ass. Like, it's just like one of those things. Like, it's all, you gotta be like that though, you know what I mean?
Not to follow Ryan's example here, but if this happens to you, there are usually police officers roaming the convention hall. Call one of them over to you rather than you get yourself arrested.
Exactly.
Just say.
That's fair.
So, like, pen, paper, dice, tokens, things like that.
It's a professional event, so yeah, you want to bring paper with you because you're gonna have to keep your track of your life on a pad. You're still gonna bring dice and normal stuff. They're gonna probably have, I think Pez is running this one, I'm not sure, but they always have a stack of life pads with their logo on it. They'll gladly hand you those to do that. Whatever you do, however, don't use the tablecloth for life. I've DQ'd people for that.
don't you do tablecloths? Because by the end of the day, I mean, it's chaos in there.
Right. And I don't know why. It was just, I think they were, I'm not even going to try to explain why. They just did it and you had to DQ them. It was...
No, I was saying, PES, why do they use tablecloths? Wouldn't it be easier just to have a hard table? Because, you know, you judges do just, you know, play housekeeper half the night.
Because it's for the cards. The tabletops damage the cards, even though most people play on mats now.
Yeah.
They don't want to use the flat, hard tables. That's why that. And sometimes it's the venue that puts them on there, not us.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I got a question, a couple actually, Frank.
Sure.
What are the, for those players who have things like Elspeth in their deck and tokens, is there, what are the rules as far as your tokens go? I mean, do they have to clearly indicate what, does it have to say like 1-1 soldier, or what can you use to represent that?
They don't have to represent, I mean, you can use anything to represent, I think the rules say you could use anything to represent a token. If you have tokens say 1-1 soldier, that's fantastic, it makes everyone's job easier. I do know that when they video or they broadcast matches, they have the tokens on hand. But as long as you're consistent, as long as you have something that represents it, you can use dice, you can use, playing that cards.
Confusing, try to use something else.
Right. The one thing you can't use are other magic cards. You can't pull out your sideboard.
So no, I can't pack rats for pack rat.
No, you cannot.
That's mean. No, I understand though. Deck check causes crazy.
Yeah.
And if you, for example, like when I'm playing at home and my voice resurgence dies, I usually just flip it over and that's the token.
Right. Don't do that. Don't do that at the Grand Prix.
Okay.
For starters, the voice resurgence should be in the graveyard. It's obviously not there. So there's that. They got messed up. Plus also, I know it's not in this format, but some formats have this mechanic called morph. And if a judge walks by and sees a face down card, he's going to assume it's a morph card. And if he looks at the card and it's not a morph card, that's cheating.
Yeah, that's a problem. And also, another question I had, for the listeners, what about, say you got an altar in your deck? How do you, I mean, do you just show the judges beforehand when you register your deck, or how do you handle altars?
I would recommend asking the head judge. It's ultimately going to be his or her call. As long as it's not a major alter that, you know, affects the thickness of the card, you should be fine. As long as you can easily identify what the card is on sight, they're usually pretty good with that. But if you have any questions, definitely, you know, I mean, if it's something like, you know, changing a ponder to a Pokeball, that's not going to be an issue. But anything that adds great thing, if you're covering up text boxes, at that point, you probably want to get the judges okay on that one.
Okay.
Okay, sleeves now, they're mandatory at these events, correct?
I believe they are.
All right. another thing, deck registration.
Mm-hmm.
How should one, because, I mean, I'm sure some of these players, especially because this is a sealed event, this is going to be their first time doing this. Do you want to explain to them how to do it? and, you know, pay attention to the judges and all that stuff?
I could try to. I don't think it's going to work very well because it's going to sound strange, but... for sealed event, you're going to get this sheet of paper that's going to be double-sided. On one side, it's going to have all the cards of one set. On the flip side, it's going to have all the cards on the other set. And the first thing you want to do is when you open the product and you start registering it, there's two columns. I believe the columns are like total and played or used and played.
It's total and played.
Total and played. So in the total column, which is not the column that is a column for all the cards that are in the pool, you're going to use actual real numbers, not Roman numerals, not tick marks, real actual numbers, and say how many of each card that you have on in hand. You're then going to pack it up. There's going to be some sort of deck swap. When you get the deck back, you're going to have to check it to make sure that the other person who had it before you was actually smart and did this right. And in events like this, if they don't do it right, there's actually penalties usually involved in it. So, I mean, it's something that you want to make sure you're doing right. You want to make sure that when you're going through the deck that it's accurate, that you don't put something in the wrong column. I do know that, like, sometimes cards have very similar names. You want to make sure that's in the right column. And when you get your cards back, you're then going to build your deck, and in the use column, you're going to write down all the cards that you use.
That actually, speaking of that, that came up this week, and I want to say it was Adrian Sullivan or somebody had written on in their registration. They just wrote Jace.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's really bad.
Yeah. Instead of indicating which Jace.
Yeah, so Will, I was at a tournament with him.
It cost the player a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unfortunate, but just little things. I mean, you gotta write out the whole name of the card.
Right.
I can give an example of that there, Ryan. Right. Well, that's for standard, or for constructed, but I can give you an example of that. Will, me and him was at a tournament when there was only one Elspeth in the whole game at that time. And he just wrote Elspeth. And I want to say it might have been Frank that came over and goes, Will, I got to talk to you. And he got a game loss for that because, you know, it did not say Elspeth, what was it, Knight Errant?
Whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, the first one. And it's like, well, I mean, it's not our fault. You have to write the whole thing in there. And, yeah, if you are doing constructed deck registration, please write the whole card's name. Don't go O-Ring. That doesn't work. Write Oblivion Ring. Things like that. Right.
I think the coolest one I have for stories is back when Time Spiral, since we just talked about it, I actually had someone complain to me when I gave him a game loss for writing Venser Shaper Guy.
No, I've heard of people getting game losses for writing Swag Tusk for Thrag Tusk.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, no nicknames, just actual, use the real card names, don't try to be clever. Now's not the time.
Gary is no good. It's Gray Merchant of Ashvedel.
You could probably get away with it if you put Gary of Merchant, whatever the card's name is. If you put Gary instead of Gray and just said you're dyslexic, you could probably get away with that.
Good point.
I'm not gonna recommend that.
You're not advocating that.
I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying you probably could.
Like, oops, yeah, that was a spelling error. I'm sorry. Cool. From a player's perspective, I will say first thing you should do if it's your first GP is figure out where they're going to post pairings or listen to the judges and find out where they're posting it online.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can use your smartphone to find where you're going to be sitting very quickly. If not, you're going to, you know, when you see that clock tick down to zero, you're going to want to wait about 5 minutes and then you're going to want to find your way over to the large throng of people around your letters. Cause it'll be like N through P. And that's where all the postings for people whose names end through P. Get over there, see where you're at, and get your butt to the seat because you will get a game loss after 5 minutes and a match loss after 10 if you're late.
I believe with Grand Prix, I believe match losses start at zero.
No, you can get away with more than zero.
Well, I mean, if you're making your way to the seat.
I think it might be game loss at zero, match loss at 10.
That sounds right.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So, I mean.
But you have to be making your way to your seat. If they say round of starts and you're on the other side of the room doing something stupid, you're going to get a game loss. If you are 10 feet away from your seat running as fast as you can, they're going to cut you some slack.
Okay. So, do some cardio.
Yep.
Get yourself ready for that. Figure out your local food venues that are very close and also bring some snacks and not crappy snacks. I mean, the convention hall is going to have pretzels and french fries and just pure garbage that isn't good for you.
Yep. I'm a fan of Fig Newtons.
What?
I'm a fan of Fig Newtons on Magic tournaments.
Yeah, I'm real big on like, granola bars. And I am not like a vegan. I love me some meat, but I'm sorry. That's not what you need at this point. You need high energy. That lasts a while.
My mouth is full of meat right now, actually.
I bet it is. Who are you blowing?
No, it's this pizza I'm blowing.
Oh, okay. Is that the one you were supposed to send to me, fucker? Yeah.
I will get on that. I need to get on that. I actually had Megan nagging me about that the other day. You need to send Angelo his pizza.
Yes. Thank you, Megan. but yeah, I mean, kind of what Frank said, it is going to be chaos when you start. And, but if you find just a few simple things real close, and like I know in Philly, if you're there, hey, the food is literally across the street.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a difficult one. And it's good food across the street. It's everything you can think of. But at other GPs I've gone to, you know, it's like, okay, I got to leave the convention hall. I got to drive, you know, six blocks this way and then make a left. And that's where all the restaurants are. And you got to put that in your, you know, into your brain as, okay, how long would that take me to get my food, get back and eat? And then you got to, you know, work the clock to where it's like, okay. And remember, no GP I've ever been to has the round finished on time. To be 5 minutes late, you have that play,
right?
And I've been to a good bit of them, so like, you know, you have 5 minutes play. There's no question there. But make sure you eat. Make sure you have liquid. Don't put it on the table. That's just going to get you punched in the head.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you spill something on my nice new cards. but aside from that, try and have fun. Don't let.
Sorry, good.
No, go ahead. I was going to say
this. No, I think that's the one thing that a lot of people always forget, that you're there to have fun. I mean, winning's fantastic. Winning the tournament's good. But you're out of the house. Play some magic. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be 1,500-plus people at most GPs, and only 8 of them make the top 8. So have fun. That's what you're there to do. Mm-hmm. Meet new people. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Enjoy yourself while you're there. And, you know, check out the artists and everything.
Don't be like me, then, afraid to talk to people.
I just
keep to myself at big events. I don't know. It's just me, but.
Yeah, don't go to these expecting to win. I mean, I do, but that's just a mindset that I have to put myself in to play my best.
No, expect to have a lot of fun in the side events.
Well, I mean, like, I'm the type of person, like, if I don't put myself in that mind state that I'm going to win this thing, I'm not going to play my best.
Right.
But, and if you have that same issue, then by all means think that way, because it's going to make you play your best. But realistically, I know deep down in the back of my mind that more than likely I ain't going to win this thing. Cause like I said, there's 1500 plus players and there's only one winner. I mean, the odds are not great for you. Have fun. And if not, hey, what's the worst that can happen? You scrub out, you meet a bunch of new people, and then you go get hammered with these people. This is fun. Okay. I think that's enough to cover the GPs. What do you think, Frank? Is that the same thing?
No, not really. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's other small little things that are site specific. Like one thing that I always try to do, you know, is I try to, and this is just me being a judge, I try to talk to the other judges that are there and I try to find out what their pet peeves are for players and then not do them. For example, try to push your chairs in when you get up. You may actually have judged thank you for
what?
That.
Huh?
Yes, push your chairs in when you get up.
No.
Way, yes.
Courtesy. It's common courtesy.
And no, but the thing is, if you're cheating, you can keep judges distracted by leaving your chairs and your garbage everywhere.
Exactly.
Also, another thing that pisses me off, when people are getting seated, look, keep yourself scooted in while people are getting seated around you. Just because you got to your seat before everyone else doesn't give you the right to like sprawl out and block the aisle. Like I hate that shit where you gotta stand on your tippy toes and like turn fucking your ass sideways and shit to squeeze between. You
know? Sometimes that's unavoidable. This is a game that has some larger players and you just have to accept that though sometimes, right?
I understand that. If it's a big fatty, that's completely different. If it's a big fat ass, that's something different. Yeah. I'm talking about just somebody being douchey.
Yeah, don't take pictures of people's butt cracks while you're there. Apparently, that will get you a lengthy suspension.
Well, if you do it, don't attach your name and or face to it.
Yeah, don't act like you're praying. But I think that's enough for the GPs. Guys, you remember me bringing up an art challenge a couple weeks ago? Well, I'm going to bring it back up. Look, we are looking for a new logo. I want something a little more professional looking, something that, you know, we can throw on a shirt or on anything. And just immediately people are going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's the Pit Imps, you know, kind of like some of the other shows have done. And I'm willing to pay for it. Like I got $100 set aside. I'm guaranteeing that if we do anything further, we will go to you first. Doesn't mean you'll necessarily get the commission. But, you know, if say I want a token of asterisk, I'll be like, hey, you know, can you draw me a token of asterisk? And if I like it, I'm going to go, okay, cool. We'll pay you for that. If, you know, so on and so forth. I've gotten some great submissions so far. I mean, I got one that by far is my favorite at this point.
Is it the one Kelso of the
Aftermath? No, it's not that. Dude, that thing is so dead, it's unreal.
Like, that's my favorite, dude. I'm still, hey, Kelso, I'm backing you on this.
That's fine. It's not in my top five already. So, like, it's not going to go to the voting.
I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, I kind of gave something away there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pick, like, five of them. Maybe less, you know, but it's going to be a few that are absolutely, you know, they are in my vision of what I want. And then I'm going to put them up on the Facebook page and I'm going to say vote. Tell me which one you want. You have until like the 2nd of June to get your submission into me, and you can send that either to me at Twitter, or I'd prefer if you send it at pitimppodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to pick a winner the following week, and I'm going to ship out $100 to somebody. So.
Yeah, 1866, is that his name on Twitter?
1886, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, get at us. You got some good stuff. Proxy guy, if you're listening, throw us something. All you posse members, if you got free time, shit.
Yeah, if you're another show and want to help us out, by all means, mention this. If you know artists, mention this. If your friend is an artist and doesn't listen to magic stuff but wants to make $100, tell them. I don't care who does the art. I just want good art. So yeah, there's that. Please get those into me ASAP. I want tons of them to look over. But at the same time, if you do need more time to get it perfect, wait. I will accept up to 3 submissions per person. So if the first one's bad, send another one. Not a big deal. Aside from that, so what's up, guys? Brian, what you been up to?
Oh man, playing some magic. So I learned a valuable lesson at the club on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
If you're not 100%, your girl is feeling the girl. Don't make out with said girl. Could get you in trouble on the dance floor.
Yeah.
So no, we came in. There was this girl in like this like fishnet type outfit. It was crazy. And, we're dancing or whatever, her and Megan and stuff, and then she kind of more or less starts dancing on me more or whatever, and Megan was doing her thing. And yeah, I mean, I started having more fun than I should have maybe, and I looked up at one point, and it was like I looked up, it bam, was just like a middle finger right in my face, like,
holy ball and chain!
That's right, holy ball and chain. So I learned a valuable lesson there, so that wasn't too fun. Had to deal with that Saturday night girl drama, so that's basically it. Nothing else really new. Just kind of an interesting weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Frank, what you been up to, buddy? Since the last time we spoke.
Oh, hey, real quick too.
Sure.
I give you a lot of shit, Angelo, for bacon. I gotta confess, this last week I fell in love with what I'm eating right now is this, home run meat lovers. It's got, sausage, pepperoni, and bacon.
I'm proud of you, sir. Like, that's a good combination right there.
Dude, the bacon just gives it this little, it's.
Yeah. This yeah, nice, exactly.
Little nice chunks, you know, little slices of bacon. Oh.
Exactly, bro. I know, man. Bacon on a pizza is far better than you would think, especially combined with sausage.
I didn't think I'd like it because, you know, I try not to eat, you know, I'm a big, like, anti-pork eater, but this pizza just looks so good, man. I think I've been missing out a little bit.
I've been telling you that for 50 episodes.
I gotta say, bacon is pretty exquisite.
It is a wonderful thing. Frank. How you been, man? What have you been up to since the last time we spoke?
Nothing, actually. The two things that happened recently is, one, my son, oldest son, Nick, who is in middle school, is in a high school production of...
Holy hell, he's in a middle school now?
He's in the middle school. He just started this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. He's 10.
Sixth grade.
Oh, my God. It's been a while since I've seen your kids, man. I remember you pushing both of them in, like, one stroller into the card shop to play cards. God damn, I'm old.
Yes. Yeah, and now we do it with the baby. I bring him in on the stroller.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But anyway, so he's in middle school. He's in a high school production of The Wizard of Oz. He is one of the Munchkins.
Cool.
And they are keeping a what seems to be like a Broadway schedule when it comes to practices. He's been at practice pretty much every day for 4 hours for the past 2 weeks. That's been his Saturdays to Sundays, and his show starts this Thursday. So that's what I'm going to be doing all this weekend, is watching a 3 hour play for the 10 minutes of my son's on stage.
That sounds actually like a ton of fun.
It is. I know a lot of the people who are in the production because, of doing stuff with the school. So I'm actually looking forward to it, but it's just kind of funny that all these other parents who aren't, are just going to be watching their kids and they're probably leaving. It's interesting. And, the other thing,
I was going to say, last year I got the pleasure, because my daughter, she's in theater, and she got a solo in a musical that they were doing.
Nice.
And you know what? Like, the football dad came out during the middle of her solo, but I'd never been so proud in my life. That's my girl! Yeah! You know, and honestly, I had other parents tell me she did the best job out of all of them, but, you know, that's probably just parents telling me that. I'm not stupid, but, like, I mean, the pride that you get, even whether you're in the theater or not, just from seeing your kids do that is outstanding, and I hope he does a great job as a Munchkin, Frank.
I hope he does, too. It's cool. I mean, he's actually been talking about it. He found out like 2 months ago, and he actually kind of wants to continue with it. So I'm hoping next year he can do this again for something else.
Awesome.
Something else that happened last week is, at work, I got that wonderful, wonderful, email to say to come into your boss's office.
Ooh.
And while our company has been downsizing, they did give me a choice, was to either walk away from my job or get transferred to Moon. So I took the transfer to Moon, and it's been chaos since then. But
for those of you who don't live in the Pittsburgh area, Moon and Mars actually are not planets,
right,
and celestial objects. They're actually towns around here.
Right.
Are you serious?
Yes. I work in Moon Township.
Yeah, that's where Robert Morris is located, is Moon Township. They, if you watch basketball, you heard of them last year because they knocked Kentucky out early.
Okay.
And as far as Mars go, there's no reason to have ever heard of that.
There's a bank.
It's just kind of there. Oh, so you're in Moon now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a drive, and the job's different, and I'm going crazy trying to figure out what's happening there. But it's been a week, so it's getting better, but my brain has been fried all.
Yeah, when you're used to a 10-minute drive and you get a half-an-hour drive, like, that's a difference.
It is.
That, yeah.
Yeah, that's a real difference to your day. Just getting up that extra 20 minutes early, it just messes you all up.
Oh, yeah. And the other weird thing is they moved my shift. I used to start at 10:30, now I start at 9. So now getting the kids to school on time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's rough, dude.
So it's been a roller coaster ride.
It's an adjustment period, is what you're going through.
It is, and it's not been pretty.
Yeah. You being a local guy, I got asked the question: did you get any of the beautiful maple syrup with the huge sausages this weekend?
I was there. I was there on Sunday.
Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet. Yep. I love the sausage at that thing.
That's the only reason I go. The pancakes, I can make at home, but for some reason, I don't know what they do to the sausage, but it's fantastic.
Are you guys talking about the Pittsburgh bathhouse?
No, in Beaver County, there's a lot of natural maple trees that grow, and we have a huge maple syrup festival where they actually pull the maple from the trees to make their syrup. And you can eat pancakes for like 5 1/4, and then you get one sausage link. And the sausage link is like the size of like half a kielbasa, and you can buy extras of those. But this thing's like an event in our area.
It is. And you have to stand in line for about 1.5 hours before you get in to eat the pancakes.
For some fucking pancakes?
Yes.
Yes. Like I said, it's an event. It's all natural. I mean, you of all people, Ryan, I know you're, you know, anti this with food and anti that with food. It is all natural, straight from the tree, boiled literally the day before you get there. Maple syrup. Yeah. You're never going to have maple syrup that tastes better. And I don't like maple syrup, and I still go to this thing.
And once you're done with the pancakes, you can walk up the hill where they grind all the flour for the pancakes, and they show you how to make everything. So they actually show you the making of the stuff there.
Yeah, and it's, that
sounds pretty hipster, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's almost a carnival atmosphere once you get outside. Short of the rides, you have almost everything else that you'd find at a carnival that's just in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you get little engines selling bulls. I mean, tobacco products. Tobacco pipes. Yeah, that's what they call them. So it's a cool thing to do. I missed it this year, unfortunately. I usually do go. I was going to go Saturday, but it was cold as balls. And I had to work all day, so yeah, that's that.
Sunday was a good day for it. The weather made it nice.
Yeah, it really cooperated. I wanted to head down there, and I got tied up with some stuff at home. This is the first time I've missed that in a while. I'm kind of sad. As for myself, Sunday, one of the reasons I got tied up was because I was playing in a premier event on Magic Online, trying to get my last little bit of practice in, and I played like utter hell. I mean, I haven't played this bad in a sealed event in so long. And like, at one point, I'm sitting there looking and I'm like, I should be 4-0, legitimately. I am 1-3.
Why were you 1-3?
Cause I literally made like one mistake every game. It was a major mistake in every game, okay. But I made one mistake in every game and every time it came back, bit me in the ass and I lost. And, you know, it was just small little stupid interactions that, yeah, if you don't play a lot of sealed and don't play with, you know, some of these cards all the time, you're not always going to see. But somebody who plays as much limited as I do, I should have seen these things and I just didn't. Like, I'm sitting there playing around a card he obviously didn't have when I should have just played through it anyway because he had, like, I'm like, okay, if he has Divine Verdict, like, I'm screwed. Like, I can't bestow this creature onto this one because then it's just going to die to the Divine Verdict. And I'm not even thinking of the fact that, oh, he has a Spear of Heliod on the board, so I should just equip it anyway because that thing's dead as soon as it hits. So I put it on something else, made something else ginormous, swung through, dealt the damage, the thing died, and instead of dealing lethal, I dealt, you know, 3 damage away from lethal. Because I equipped it to the wrong thing, and it's like, you know better than that, you know? So, like, it reminded me of some little interactions that you'd think I'd know better by now, but sometimes your brain just doesn't work, especially when tournaments start at 6 a.m. I did fight my way back to 3-3, and then I lost in the last round to go 3-4, so I don't know. Like, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good either, so, aside from that, I've been working like crazy. I was telling these guys I put in, like, 29 miles on the pedometer in the last 2 days, spreading fertilizer. So that's been fun. My feet hurt like hell.
But hey. 29 miles of shit. Red.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, I'm pushing this broadcast spreader fertilizer. So, and like, when I fill it up, it's like 50 pounds. But when I get done, it's probably like 60 because the spreader itself's like, you know, 5-10 pounds. But by the time I get done, you know, it gets a lot easier to push because there's nothing in it, but then I gotta go back and I gotta reload. So, it's just shitty. But I got one day of that left and then I'm done for the week and I'm heading to Philadelphia, so the hell with that. And I think tomorrow I'm actually building baseball fields, so that's fine. That's easy stuff. Once you know what you're doing. Brian, you got any shout outs, bro?
Not really. Shout out to having a cool girlfriend, Megan, and
really in the doghouse.
No, I actually wasn't. I got her calmed down before I had to walk home. Like, I ended up not having to walk home and caught up with her at the bar and things are good. So
that's cool.
Just be more sure next time that you have the green light.
Yeah, just wait for her to choose.
Well, I assume she already did.
No, don't assume. Don't assume. No.
I made a rookie mistake. It was a rookie mistake. It won't happen again. So, yeah. Shout out to Frank for coming on and, you know, going over his mechanics and kicking it with us. Shout out to everyone in the posse as always and for all the interactions. I was kind of off there a bit this week, but I think Angelo picked up a lot of the slack. I need to get on there. I know we had some, quite a few requests this week about like the modern format, if I'm not mistaken, and some other things, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, I answered that on the page, so I guess I don't have to do it now.
Yeah.
Well, okay, no, that's cool. Frank, you got any shout-outs, buddy?
I'm going to give a shout-out to the judges at the Grand Prix. I know they're going to do a fantastic job. I know you guys are going to enjoy yourselves. I know it's going to be handled really well, and I can't wait to hear about what happens there.
Yeah, I can't wait to sit down and eat a sandwich with Judge Larry. I do that every day. Judge Larry's my dude. I'll sit there and talk bridge with him for hours.
Judge Larry is pretty amazing.
And, guys, if you go to a PES event, which they're everywhere nowadays, hell, they've even gotten into Canada in the last year. He's the old guy. That's all you need to know. When you look at all the judges, you go, the old one. That's Judge Larry. Good dude.
Very good.
What'd you say?
He retired twice. I don't know his actual age, but I know he retired twice.
Yes. Yeah. Such a good man. You got any other shout-outs there, Frank?
No, that's all I got.
Okay, I want to give a shout-out to you for coming on. I also want to give a shout-out to your family for being understanding and giving you this time to come on here with us. Because as I know, you know, I have kids and everything, and I know it is a sacrifice for a few hours, especially this time of night when you're trying to put your kids to sleep and everything. So thank you, wife.
Thank you. She just walked in, so I'm sure she's appreciative of that.
Oh, no. I understand it fully. Also, I want to give a shout out to everybody who is going to Philadelphia that, you know, has already joined into the plans with us. We have some crazy things planned for Saturday night for any of you guys who wash out. I mean, there's going to be a huge draft going on with lots of podcasters. And, you know, there'll be some other things going on. We have a bar basically set aside for us. It's going to be a good time. Find me at the GP. I'll give you all the details. If you haven't gotten them already, it's someplace called Strange Loves. I'll get you directions and whatnot, and we're going to have a good time. Shout out to Buttercup for coming with me. Same with Dan Beckman.
Wait. The name of the bar is called Strange Love?
Yeah.
I feel like we need Will here right now. He would have a joke for that.
Probably. But it's a craft brewery. So, you know, the beer is going to be fresh. Even if it isn't good, it's going to be fresh.
There you go.
And, you know, Slick Jagger gave me a lot of help for finding this place, and he highly recommended it. You know, he's from Philly. He's supposed to bring me some Brainstorm Brew,
which I hear is decent.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it. I'm not a big IPA person, but it's a black IPA, so I'm willing to give this a shot.
Actually, I used to hate hot, like real strong hot flavor of beer.
Yeah.
The last year or two, it's really kind of grown on me. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the IPAs.
Yeah, I'm not real big on the hops. I never really have been. The IPAs are not a thing for me. I'm more of the porter and stout guy who just wants I want a beer that looks like chocolate syrup.
Okay.
You know, it tastes like charcoal. Like I'm really into that. Yeah, like, you know, for a poor man, it would be Guinness. You know, for a good man, it'd be like Troganator Double Bock. Okay. You know, so yeah, that's my type of deal. I'm not really into the hoppy stuff, but yeah, that's all of our contact info, shout outs, da 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 da. So next week there's SCG Dallas, and I'm going to be in Philly.
Contact info?
No, we didn't do contact info. That's right. God damn it. You can get a hold of me at Gonksuo on Twitter. That's GANKSUOU. Same on MTGO. PitImpPodcast@gmail.com. Check out the website, PitImpsPodcast.com. The wife is like made changes to it, and it's getting like more professional looking. it really is.
Check this out.
Yeah, I can't do that shit, dude. I spent hours of my life just wrecking my brain trying to figure it out. It's not for me. Also, you know, you can find me this week. I should be writing something for Bro Deals. At least I promised Jack I would. And then I know I have two articles coming. One's going to be about Philly, and the other one is going to be the top 10 cards in the new set, which I do every time for them. So make sure you check those articles out and check out any other articles that go up on Bro Deals. Frank, if people want to get a hold of you, how would they do so if you want them to get a hold of you? If I say they can go to hell.
No, they can. That's fine. Best way is through email. It's frank.tavern.3. That's the number 3@gmail.com.
Fair enough. Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Contact info.
I'm just fucking with you. Twitter, of course, man. At Brother Ryan, at Bro the Yan, whatever suits you, whatever is your flavor, hit me up. Twitter's cool. And of course the Facebook page, man, the posse, the group growing stronger every day. Get at us there, contribute to the forum. I don't know. I wanted to say, if you're like me and listen to a lot of, like, there's a lot of podcasts you like and you're just like, I should really post on their page, but I'm not going to take the 5 minutes. Don't be me. Give us a post, join the group, show us some love.
Hey, if you would have been like that, Ryan, with us, you wouldn't be on the show right now.
It's true.
I mean, that's how I found Ryan to come onto the show. I mean, it was through the page, so.
There you go. And that's where we're getting all the recent guests we've had.
Yeah, every guest is a member of that group. So, yeah. Join. Okay, is that all the contact info though, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay, so, SCG Dallas is next week, and I'm going to Philly, bitches. So, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to meet at least one of the people from our, host, our parent company, I guess you can call it, the Brainstorm Brewery. I'm going to meet at least one person from that and plenty of other people that, you know, I only know through Twitter. So this is going to be great. But until next week.
Can Batman escape? One hint, the worst is yet to come.
I fucking hate you. Dude, I just hate you.
I can't stop fucking with him. It's so much fun. These sound effects are great.
Hey, Ryan.
Fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one, bro. And go fuck yourself.